This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Later in the broadcast, we will have the latest in our series of conversations in celebration of Black History Month. We have been meeting African Americans who are making their mark in science and technology, the so-called STEM fields. And we'll hear from an author who tried to find out what some African American icons like Martin Luther King Jr. were like as kids. That's all coming up later in the program. But first, we want to talk about a major debate right now in this country that is taking on a racial edge. It is our gun laws. The December school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut has reignited the debate over whether there should be more restrictions on who can own guns and what kinds of guns we can have and what the penalties should be for misusing guns. For years, prominent African-American political leaders, especially those based in big cities, have been at the forefront of efforts for tighter gun laws. In fact, here's Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter speaking at a Senate hearing yesterday about renewing the former ban on assault weapons.
No one has ever been able to explain why a civilian should have a military-style assault weapon for anything other than the military or law enforcement.
But now we are hearing some other voices, African Americans arguing against tighter gun laws, or if you prefer, in favor of more expansive gun ownership rights. That includes a group of Black faith leaders who held a press conference in Washington last week to talk about the racist history of some gun control laws. We wanted to hear one of those voices, so we've called Reverend Ken Blanchard. He is a pastor at the historic Berean Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. He's also author of the book Black Man with a Gun, and he's with us now. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Why did you decide to get involved in this debate at this time?
I've been in it for the last 20 years, actually. When I first started off, I was a law enforcement firearms instructor, and I wanted to make a difference in the community. I wanted to get out of the government and work for myself. I went out, and I was going to be Johnny on the spot, helpful Mr. Security Guy, and help everybody who buys a firearm be safe in their home and stop all the violence that's happening by accidents with children. And I found out that nobody wanted my services. They were terrified of firearms. They thought anybody that looked like me was the wrong person to be teaching. And I thought, wow, how can you even go there? I mean, it's just I'm trying to help, and I couldn't find the right people to help. I was trying to help people in my town, and I didn't find it.
Did you grow up using guns, learning how to shoot from an early age, or when did you get acquainted with firearms yourself?
It was odd. I grew up in two households, between my grandmother in rural Virginia, where she had a shotgun. And I learned a lot about hunting and firearm safety from her. And then when I went to the Marines, then I got that big indoctrination about rifles and firearms. But when I got out of that, I was still trying to be somebody, I guess. And in my family, everybody's a sports person, and I sucked. I couldn't throw baseball. I couldn't throw a football. I remember going out for high school and not even making the first cut for basketball, and my mother telling me, "You want me to take you to the court and show you some stuff?" Because even my mom was like a star in high school. And it wasn't until the military that I found out that if you're a marksman, it's a self-disciplined sport. You can shoot. You take all of it inside. You don't have to be the tallest or jump the highest. Don't have to run the fastest. And I found something that I was good at.
So for you, guns are about sport, for one thing. It's a sport. They are about the discipline of sport, but they're also about what?
Self-defense.
Talk a little bit, if you would, about the history, what you and some of the other pastors call the racist history of gun control laws. This is something that you have been digging into as part of your hobby, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
When I found out that nobody wanted to take my services as a firearms instructor, I was kind of hurt.
You mean you're talking about white people now? Or are you talking about everybody?
No, about black people.
Black people in general. Okay, and everybody.
Everybody. So mm-hmm. I tried to figure out what's this whole gun thing? What's the whole argument? Why are people so scared of it? And I went to an NRA meeting. I wasn't a member. And I had two old white guys grab me and say, "Hey, we're glad you're here. Did you know?" And they started telling me about the Deacons of Defense and Justice. They talked about the civil rights era that they were a part of. And I was ashamed. I didn't know any of that stuff. So I went back to my family and started quizzing all my uncles. And I said, "Have you ever heard of this guy? Have you heard of this guy? Who was this Robert F. Williams dude from the 60s? And they said, "Oh, yeah, he started something down in North Carolina." And the next thing I know, I became a history nut for everything black and gun. Gun laws have started in this country since 1640, since we were colonies. And it's always been against a group. It's always been to control somebody. It was the Chinese, it was the Native Americans, it was the African.
I think many people would say that was a long time ago and things are now different.
But every 30 years, we go through a cycle of gun control. In 1925, it was against Italian immigrants. The Sullivan Law was to prevent them from having long-barreled or short-barreled guns. We got a big resurgence for it during the Civil Rights era when people had to go and protect the Freedom Riders, and the Klan was just tearing up people. So you had these guys who were veterans who had to go protect people. And in the 60s, when we lost King and Kennedy and Malcolm, everybody said, we got to do something. And we're kind of having that same resurgence again, where laws were changed, but nothing really happened.
So your argument is that the right to own a gun has been kind of central to the ability of African-Americans to have dignity and protect themselves. But what do you say to those who argue that now things have changed to the point where African-Americans, and to some extent Latinos, are more likely to be victims of gun violence? For example, the Kaiser Family Foundation conducted a poll this month, and it found that more than 40% of Black people said that they personally knew someone who was the victim of a gun crime in the past 3 years. What do you say to that?
Education got us off the plantation. Education is the reason we have so many troubles in our communities right now. There's a loss of responsibility, a loss of family. And when we left the country and went to the city and got all crammed together, we lost those uncles that like my grandmother would beat you with a switch if you touched that shotgun or even came near it. Now we've come to this thing where we just want to hide and not learn about something. So we have family members, we have law enforcement, we have veterans who know Big Mama doesn't want a gun in her house, but they bring one anyway. And they stick it in some place that's not safe. The kid steals it. The kid takes it to school. It's taken from the kid. It's now on the street. It's a cycle of undercover gun ownership that we've caused. If we would pull it out of the covers and not be covert about it, it's a legal thing that we can do. We just have a stigmatism to it. We could save lives.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about why some African-Americans oppose tighter gun laws. Our guest is the Reverend Ken Blanchard from Washington, D.C.'s historic Berean Baptist Church. He was one of a group of Black faith leaders who actually spoke publicly about this issue last week. What is your idea of what should be done to address this? I don't know if the word epidemic is the right word. I don't know. Statistically, in fact, that there are fewer homicides now in this country than there have been in quite some time. But those that exist are concentrated in a few areas like the ones that we've talked about. And then, of course, there are these terrible mass shootings that seem to be coming with more frequency now. What's your idea about what should happen here?
For me, we have a loss of hope. And we're all looking for a savior, for somebody to find us and to save us and to take responsibility for it. I'm saying we got to educate our kids on gun safety. We have to talk to our children. Our families have to be closer together. You don't have those issues where there is not economic issues, there's not drug addictions, there's not mental issues. We want somebody else to fix our own problems. That's why we have an issue.
How does your congregation respond to you on this issue?
They actually don't like it.
They don't like it?
Don't like it at all. It's probably the only issue. As long as I preach the gospel, which I have no problem doing, and stay away from the gun issue, they're fine. Every once in a while, somebody will raise a comment and say, well, those NRA people or whatever, and then you can see the deacons will flash a look at the person like, don't get Rev started. Don't even like open that door because he'll blast you. And
metaphorically.
Yeah. But it's just and I walk a tight line. I keep politics out of the pulpit. This issue, when I get somebody who actually listens, because everybody has an opinion and everybody is usually regurgitating something from somebody that they know but it's popular, but they don't have the real knowledge about it. So for that end, it's not a debate for me. I'll wait until it's time to talk.
I did want to ask you one point. You mentioned, you know, those NRA folks, and it has been a canard that often anytime anybody doesn't agree with someone, they'll say, oh, you're getting paid by somebody else. But there has been a spate of groups now that have come out who've pointed up the fact that a lot of the history of these gun control laws were targeted to specific ethnic groups, particularly African Americans from the earliest days of the history. Do you honestly feel that some of these groups actually care about what happens in the Black community?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do.
What other evidence is there besides that they're very interested in guns? I mean, is there any other evidence that they're interested in what happens to African Americans more broadly about poverty, about mental illness, about any of these other issues?
No. On they are one single issue people. It's guns. It's guns and freedom. And most of them don't want to become a civil rights person unless you touch their firearm. Some of them have had to, and we're the same way. I mean, if it's not your neighborhood, I don't care. A lot of these people, just like us, until you take something that belongs to them, then they cross the line and then come into your zone in the rain.
My question is, forgive me, because I think it is insulting to people to suggest that they are being led by other people who are adults, and you clearly are an adult. But I did feel it's important to ask, because I know that people will have this question, is do you in some ways feel you're being used?
Oh, I'm real sensitive to that. And I will shut people down if I think I'm being manipulated in a heartbeat. And I have been in specific circumstances where I had to walk away because it wasn't in my best interest. I remember my very first speech in 1992 for concealed carry reform in Virginia. I got a chance to be the lead testimony, and I was representing African-American gun owners in Virginia. And I had a really nice speechwriter come down and say, these are the points you got to say, and make sure you stand correctly. And I looked at that guy and said, I almost did a Kevin Hart on him. I said, I'm a grown, blank man. Step. And he said, okay, just be mindful of what you say. And I said, fine, I'm going to speak as me. And I gave a testimony to these legislative people, and they didn't know what to say. It was from my heart. It was real. It was unrehearsed. I didn't have the written thing. And nobody asked the question. I thought I had messed up. But when I walked out of there, they said, man, nobody has ever done that before. You're natural. And I thought, whatever. I'm just trying to save my people. That's all.
That was the Reverend Ken Blanchard. He is a pastor at the historic Berean Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. He's the author of the BlackManWithAGun.com blog, and you can also hear him at the Urban Shooter podcast. Reverend Blanchard, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.